Been a good week. Everybody had a good week? Yep. One or two? So. How many can believe we're in December? Where did it go? I'm like, no. How many of you all are those overachievers that already got your Christmas shopping done?
Almost.
Today. Overachievers. How many are like halfway there? Couple of you. Good. How many are like not even close, haven't even started? Yeah. Okay, now let me ask you this question, and it has nothing to do with anything. It kind of does. But how many are you are diehard Black Friday shoppers? Can I just tell you, I know where they come up with the name Black Friday. Because women's hearts go black on that day. Here's why I know this. Hear me. I've gone one time, and my wife talked me into it, and we had some, a couple of her sisters were in town, and we went Black Friday, and oh, my Lanta. You know, I am not a small guy, right? And some people think that I'm even a little intimidating sometimes. And I'm pushing the cart in Walmart in Kalispell, Montana. And I was afraid because I was out of the way. I was trying to be out of the way and charity and everybody's shopping and I'm guarding the cart and I'm sitting here and there was, I kid you not, this is the gospel truth. This woman rammed my cart to get by me. And I'm like, I'm not even in the way. And she's like, I'm like, excuse me. And she goes, you should be. That's Black Friday. Oh, my goodness. It's crazy. But it's nuts. So this past week, I was in Great Falls, and I was at Sam's Club. And I had been kind of asking the Lord, okay, Lord, we're coming up on Christmas. What is it? Should, you know, you think it would be easy to talk about things because it's Christmas and it's about Jesus and, right, and all that stuff. So I'm just talking to the Lord and I'm saying, okay, Lord, what is it that you would have me talk about as we go into this Christmas season? And I was walking through the parking lot and I see this car that has a bumper sticker on it. Now, normally, I think about bumper stickers. I go, man, that's just totally deflating the pre-sale value of that car. And you have those ones that you can't even see the rear window because there's so many, right? But this one, I think, stood out to me because of its placement. Corey, will you put that picture up? Boom, okay? It's on the side of their car. And I thought, huh. And it says, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. And I was like, man, that's actually a really profound statement, especially in the days that we live in now with everything that's going on, civil unrest, you have protesters, you have the thing going on with Hamas and Israel and Palestine and in our own country, the what is it called? Anti-Semitism. I saw a thing yesterday on the TV that says it's up like 380% or something like that. There's no peace, right? There's no peace. And I was thinking about that and I was praying about it and I'm like, okay, Lord, I know where I'm going today. What is one of the major themes in Christmas? It's about Jesus being born, right? The Prince of Peace is one of his names. And so I started thinking about that. And so I think that's where we're going to go today. But before we dive into the word, can we just pray? Can we just pray, please? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your goodness to us. And we're thankful for your amazing power and work in each of our lives, God, and the goodness and the blessing that you bring to us, Heavenly Father. And we thank you for that you're able to bring hope through even the toughest times, so and strengthening us for your purposes, Lord God. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your great love and your care for us, Lord, and we thank you for your mercy and grace. And now, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open up our ears that we may hear your voice today. And Heavenly Father, we ask you to open up our minds so that we may receive your direction and your guidance. And Lord, we ask that you would open up our hearts that we may receive your incredible love today, Lord. And we pray this in your precious and holy Son's name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. So looking at that bumper sticker really got me thinking. And you know, you watch TV for 10 seconds and you understand that there is obviously our world needs peace, right? We need peace. And I remember I was thinking about growing up in the 70s. I remember being, I was a little kid on the end of the Vietnam War. Some of you guys know this way better than I do. But I remember some of my earliest childhood memories were, I had an uncle who was a hippie. And he was always, make peace, not war, make love, not war, all those things, right? And you can, I remember watching those on everywhere we went. And every time you watch TV, back on the old, big, old, huge Magnavox where we didn't have remote controls. The kids were the remote controls, right? And I remember watching the stuff on TV and all the stuff about the Vietnam War. And it was just, I remember that. But I remember my uncle, bless his heart. He was so into the hippie movement. And he was always, make peace, make peace, make peace. And I remember that. And I even found some pictures at one point in time with my Uncle Lee, who was sitting there and holding me and going. So it was, but I remember that, some of my earliest memories, right? And today we turn on the television and there's protests. There's racial tension. There's violence. And there's all of this stuff. But even though the world around us may be struggling to find peace, God's desire for you and me is that we would have his peace. Amen? We would have this perfect peace and walk in this perfect peace. So today we're going to look at the pursuit of peace. You with me? You ready? If you're ready, say, uh-huh. All right. Our world is on a hunt for peace. Peace on the inside. Some people attempt to find peace at the end of a bottle, and maybe then I will have peace if I just drink enough alcohol and drown my sorrows and all that stuff. But can I just tell you that it's only temporary, because you have to deal with being sober once again, and then you don't have peace because then you're hungover, right? And you've got a headache, and the smell of food makes you sick, and so that doesn't find peace. And some attempt to climb the ladder of success and think maybe when I'm successful I'll have peace and I'll find this peace, only to find that it's the incline with a false summit, and that hopefully peace is at the top of the next ridge or the next ridge. It made me think of, and Charity and Drew would know this name, but a friend of mine named Ken Chase took me hunting one time when we were in Libby. And I know this is a surprise for many of you, but I'm not built for hiking, right? Especially in the Cabinet Mountains. But he tricked me, and he got me to go hunting this elk, and we were on the elk trail, and excuse me. I remember, it's like, we're just going to go to the top of this summit. Okay, cool. When are we getting to the summit? Oh, it's just a little further. And I get a little further. When are we there yet? No, it's just a little further, right? It's kind of like that with success, where it's a false summit, right? It's like, I get there. Well, maybe it's on the next one. Maybe I push a little bit more, maybe a little bit more money, maybe a little bit more success. And we live in a state that has legalized marijuana, right? And that might bring momentary peace, but again, you're gonna have to come off that high to reality once again, or it's drugs of other sorts. Whatever it is that we try to fill and find peace by using that. Maybe it's we try to find peace with relationships and sex and money and fame and fortune, all these things that people are trying to fill this void in their life of the peace of God in their life, and they're not finding it. I came across, how many of you know who Deion Sanders is? Anybody know who he is? He's a great defensive back in the pro football. He was the only athlete that I have ever been aware of that actually won a Super Bowl ring as well as a World Series in baseball in the same season. Great athlete, right? And I have heard his testimony a number of times. He would call himself a Christ follower. And I remember this quote, and I looked this quote up, and I think it's a profound statement that really deals with what I'm talking about today. Deion says, fame and popularity couldn't fill the void. Power couldn't fill the void. All the money I ever wanted couldn't fill the void. Sex and all the women I wanted couldn't fill the emptiness. And here's the profound statement. I only found true peace in life when I opened the door and let Jesus into my heart. To me, that was profound. How many people do we know, or maybe you're even in this room, that you're trying to find that peace through all these other things that are falling by the wayside and leaving you wanting and empty, and there's this void. Our confidence in life comes from our relationship with Jesus. The biggest goal of the enemy, though, is to break our peace in God and to break it with God. So today is part one. We're gonna talk about peace with God throughout this Christmas season. And I was thinking in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, there's the start of talking about the Christmas story about Jesus being born. And when the angels showed up to the shepherds, they declared something that I found very interesting. Glory to God in the highest. It's Luke chapter 2, verse 14. I think it's on the screen. And what? On earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And in Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, it says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. So we see in scripture, especially in the gospels, there's a lot to talk about peace. But there's some challenges to peace that we deal with and we wrestle with. And there's some questions that we wrestle with, at least I have in my lifetime of serving the Lord and trying to figure out this journey that God has had me on. And here are some of the questions that maybe you have wrestled with or are wrestling with. And it's this, like this one. I know God loves the world, but does he love me? Or I know God does miracles, but will he do a miracle in my life? I know God hears when people pray, but does he really listen to my prayers? Anybody ever been there? I know God heals, but will he heal me? I know God doesn't like sin, but does he not like me because I have sinned? Or how about this question? This entire peace with God messes with many people and their minds and their lives. And so they find themselves asking this, where do I stand with God? Anybody ever wondered that? I grew up in a period of time in a church that the pastor was one of those guys that, man, he leaned over the pulpit and he could hit you with spit four rows back, and he was hellfire, brimstone, and all of that stuff. And I remember, I always felt like as a kid growing up that every time there was an altar time, I had to come up and repent of my sin every single time. And I found myself going, I don't even know where I stand with God. Where do I stand with God? And I remember asking that question, and I've asked this question in my life. Am I accepted, loved, valued, esteemed, and admired by God? What does he think of me? And when we are looking for peace, we find these challenges that we face to in having peace. Anybody ever been there? Probably just me. I'm probably just preaching to myself. But so I want to look at some of these challenges today. Can we do that? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready? Here we go. Here we go. The first challenge to peace is our sin and disobedience, right? Our sin and disobedience. We have learned that sin separates us, right? For all have fallen short of God's glory. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, right? That God, from the very beginning with Adam and Eve messing up in the garden, it separated them from God. So our sin and our disobedience, it kind of challenges, if you will, having peace with God. The enemy tells us that we have committed this unpardonable sin. There is no hope of recovery or restoration because you've messed up too bad, or you're doomed because God can't forgive you that you have done this same sin over and over and over again. There's no hope for you. And the enemy tries to lie to us because we know that he's what? The father of lies, right? And he tries to pull us into this repetitive sin to break our fellowship with God, to keep our relationship with him inconsistent. And it might not even be this horrible sin. It could be the sin of busyness. Do you ever think of it that as being a sin? Or the sin of comparison? I mean, there's these things that the enemy throws at us to separate us and keep us inconsistent with God. You know what I'm talking about this morning? How many times are our relationship with God, oh my goodness, if I had to count, I don't think I definitely don't have enough fingers and toes, but how many times in our relationship with God are we hot and cold? Hot and cold. Hot and cold, right? It's on and off, on and off. It's like a light switch. And when I die to sin and I live in God, I'm not challenged with a life of conflict, but I have peace when I'm in harmony with God. Let me illustrate it this way. Let me explain it this way. How well would a marriage work if you applied the same attributes that you currently have with God to your marriage? For example, for some here, maybe, we would only see each other for 1 hour a week, tops. How well would your marriage work? For some, we would only briefly look at our marriage and say something like, love you, or help, right? How healthy would your marriage be if the only time that you communicated with your spouse was when you wanted something or needed help with something? How healthy would your marriage be? How well would your marriage work? Or how healthy would it be if your husband or wife only, like I said, talked to you when they needed something? When we put it in that perspective, it kind of changes things a little bit. At least it does for me. To have a relationship with another person means that you spend time with them, right? That you are communicating with them, that you value your time with that person. How different would your life be if you treated your relationship with God that way? How much peace would we have in our life if we valued time and we sought after time and we spent time with God? Another challenge we see is this: lies and deception, right? Lies and deception. In John 8, chapter 8, verse 44, the devil is a liar and the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. And John 10 goes on to talk about the enemy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He has one platform. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy from the children of God. Right? Number three challenge we see is we ascribe, this one's an interesting one, we ascribe attributes of humanity to the deity. We ascribe attributes of humanity to God, right? God's mad at me because I sinned. God is punishing me. I keep asking, but God's not talking to me. Here's the thing that we've got to grab a hold of when it comes to this, is we must understand that God doesn't love, forgive, see, or think like we humans do. You following me? Isaiah 55, 8, 9 says, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." Ephesians, Paul tells us, God is able to do exceedingly more than we can think or ask. But here's the thing that occurred to me when I was thinking about that scripture right there. God is able to do exceedingly more than I can ask or think. We tend to apply that to just miracles or big prayers or our finances, right? Because that's what that passage of scripture is attached to all the time, right? It's mostly finances, because preachers love to put that on finances, right? But what about this? Have you ever applied that scripture to his love? God is able to exceedingly more than, do exceedingly more than we can ask or think. God is able to love more exceedingly more than we can ask or think. Do you ever think about it that way? I know that it didn't really occur to me until this week about that. But isn't it true? What is love? God, right? So God's love is going to be more exceedingly abundant than what we could ever think or hope for, right? What about his forgiveness? What about his forgiveness? What about his affirmation or approval? God is able to love you, forgive you far and above all that you could think, ask, dream, or imagine. Isn't that amazing? But I don't think that we take the time to really wrap our mind around that sometimes. So let's look into God's word and let's see what it is about our relationship with God. You ready? Is it peace or is it conflict? That's where we got to walk through today in your own life. So as we go through this, that's the thing. Do we see God is always having conflict with us, or does he want to give us peace? You following me? If you're following me, say, uh-huh. Turn your Bibles to chapter to the book of Romans, chapter 5. I don't have it on the PowerPoint, but I'll give you a second to turn there if you want to. But I'm going to read chapters or verses 1 through 10. All right. Paul tells us this. He says, "Therefore, verse 1, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God." What do we have? Peace. "With God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith." By what? Faith. "By faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God." Verse 3. "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Okay. Peace with God was initiated, and if you're a note taker, this is number one, that was initiated through the gift of Jesus Christ, right? Jesus paid the sacrifice. Jesus paid it once and for all. In Romans 5, 8 through 10 says, God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? Since we have now been justified by his blood. What does justified mean? Just as if I had never sinned. Justified. Just if I had never, you get it? Okay. Justified, okay? How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him, through Jesus? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross opened the door to a new relationship with God. How is it new? Well, here's how it was new. Grandpa Adam and Grandma Eve sinned in the garden, right? Separation started there. God knew. He had a restoration plan from that point. He knew that this was going to have to happen, right? And we walked through this. Okay, as an unholy people, they could not stand in the presence of God. They had the tabernacle. God instructed them to build the tabernacle, and you had the courts, you had the holy place, and then you had the Holy of Holies where God resided. You guys remember this, right? And here's a crazy thing that I just learned. This is totally for free today. How many know that each gate in the tabernacle had a name? Do you know that? In Hebrew history, the very first gate was called the way. The second one was the truth. And the third was the life. So when Jesus, this is a free, you get this one for free, you ready? When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes unto the Father except through me. He was speaking about the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a picture, it's a type of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I think that's stinking cool. But anyway, we're moving on. So unholy people could not go into the Holy of Holies. They had to bring their sacrifice, right? There had to be blood. They brought a sacrifice for the priest to kill on this altar. And they brought it in, and it was crazy. And we could go into a lot of this. It's all kind of getting all excited. The high priest would have to bring the blood into the Holy of Holies to sprinkle it onto the mercy seat of God for the atonement of sin. Okay? You guys understand that? All right? And the crazy thing about it is, and I don't know if I'd want to have been a high priest back then, because if there was any impurity in their heart or life, they walk into that place, they would die. They had to tie a rope around their ankle, and they had to wear bells so the people outside of the veil could hear them moving around. But as soon as the bell stopped, they knew that, oh man, snap, that dude's dead. Pull him out, right? An unholy people could not stand in the presence of a holy God. In essence, here's what happened. Jesus qualified us to God's level of holiness. Okay? His blood cleansed us. His sacrifice saved us. Peace with God. Jesus, as we celebrate Christmas, it is all about the birth of Jesus, who came for that purpose, to be sacrificed so we can be in right relationship with God. Peace with God. Peace with God is accepted through our faith in Jesus Christ. Number two, if you are waiting, listen, if you're waiting to feel like you have peace with God, good luck. Good luck, right? Our feelings lie to us. You have to faith it in. What in the world are you talking about, Pastor? You're flipping your lid. Well, let me tell you, Paul explains it to us this way in Romans chapter 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through what? Faith. Through who? Therefore, we have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus, through whom we have gained access by what? Faith into his grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. You have to have faith. You faith it. God, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe what your word tells me, that you bring peace. Only you bring peace. You have to have faith. Follow me? If you're picking up what I'm throwing down, say uh-huh. Peace with God is increased through our knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:22, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him, who calls us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So why do you think we are so challenged to have a daily time in God's word? Why do you think it's such a challenge? Why is it such a hard time for us to put away time, to set time aside to be in this? Here's what I believe. I believe the enemy wants to keep you ignorant to God's word. He wants to keep you ignorant to God's word. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. This is the truth, right? Do we all believe it? The word of God. Spoken word of God, inspired word of God. And it's useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in all righteousness, so that the man of God can be, what's the word I'm looking for? I lost it. Be equipped in every good works. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, right? If we are not in the book, and we don't know what God is saying to us, how in the world are we going to be able to stand on it? How are we going to know what's the truth and not? It's the truth that sets us free. Peace with God is expanding through our distribution of Jesus Christ. What do I mean about that? Turn to your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. I don't think I have that one on there either, do I, Cor? It says this, as you guys return, it says, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are reconciled through Christ. That means that we are now have the privilege of being in his presence, right? We are reconciled. We are brought close to him. But what does it say? What does Paul say there? He says that God was, all this is from God, who reconciled us through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are all called to the ministry of reconciliation. It's an easy word. Reconciliation, right? We are all called to this. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to become sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Reconciliation. It's an interesting word. The simplest definition is this: to make peace between enemies. Reconciliation. It's a Greek family of words that we're looking at, right? The meaning common to this word group is change or exchange, right? That's what it means. Reconciliation involves a change in the relationship between God and man or man and man. When we reconcile, if you are having marital issues and you are going to reconcile your marriage, there needs to be an exchange. There needs to be change, right? There needs to be change. Now, here's the crazy thing, and you guys have probably all heard this. The definition of insanity is what? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, right? We've done that throughout history. And we wonder why we're still in the same spots that we are as a country, as we say in our world, because there's no true reconciliation. Now there was a ceasefire over in Israel between Hamas and Israel, right? There was a ceasefire, and there's within that supposed to be reconciliation, but that means that there needs to be a change or an exchange. Now they exchanged hostages, innocent hostages, for criminal. That was the exchange. I don't think it's fair reconciliation, but we're not talking about government, okay? But there needs to be this change in a relationship. If I'm having an issue, a marital issue with my spouse, and we are fighting and we've got this issue, for it to be reconciled, there needs to be a change in our relationship. You follow me? If you're having a problem with a neighbor or a family member or whatever, and there needs to be reconciliation, there needs to be a change in that relationship. You following me this morning? There needs to be a change from a state of enmity or hate and a fragmentation to one of harmony and of fellowship. I heard this quote a long, long time ago, and I love it. It says, what hinders Christianity from expanding more rapidly is most Christians are more concerned about consuming the product than distributing the product. What is the product? The product's the good news, if you can use it as that, right? We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We should be sharing the good news. What's the good news? The good news is that Jesus Christ loved us so much that while we were still in our sin, he died on the cross for us, for sins past, present, and future. There's hope. We were talking about that. Janelle was talking about that this morning. Was it you? Yeah, I was either you or Taylor. Talking about hope. Hope. We have the hope as Christ followers. What are we supposed to do with it? Share, right? Share. That makes you a minister of reconciliation. This is good news, not just for us in this building. It's good news. We need to go tell the world. We need to tell them that God's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. We need to be truth defenders. That scripture up above says, in 2 Peter, it says that we are Christ ambassadors, right? The light of the world. The light of the world. Whole nother message I can go right there. How bright is your light? We won't go there today, but we will get there. I promise. I promise. The light of the world. The light of the world. So let me wrap this up this morning with this. Let's go back to that bumper sticker. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, and you'll know peace. John chapter 14, verse 27, John says, peace. Actually, it's Jesus that says, peace I leave with you. What does he leave with us? Everybody say it with me. Peace. Say it again. peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Peace. If we want peace with God, we have to know him, right? And I know that I probably sound like a broken record, y'all, but here's the thing. The only way you're going to get to know God is to be in his word. This is a love story to you and me. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who should ever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life and peace. Does that mean that everything's going to be rainbows and unicorns? No. Especially on Black Friday, where we're past, praise Jesus. But in a world that is desperate to know peace, is something that you and I should be experiencing because we're children of God. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be happy, but you can have peace knowing that God is who he says he is. You can have peace knowing that God is in control of all things. And you can have peace knowing that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And as we are beginning to really focus on Christmas, let it be on the reason for the season, not gifts and all that. But all, you know, family time is important and things like that. But we need to focus on Jesus and what his mission was to us. He was coming as a baby to grow up, to be a sacrifice so we can be reconciled to God, that we could be in right standing with God, that we could have peace with God. Amen? Let me pray for us. Let's close our hearts or our minds. Let's close our eyes and open our hearts and our minds. There we go. Here we go. Lord, we just love you. Oh my goodness. And your word tells us, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present our requests and our needs to you, Heavenly Father, and you promise that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us access to your powerful peace and amazing love through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that you would shower us with your grace now and your favor and grant us peace. Peace of mind, peace of heart, as we place our trust and our full trust and we surrender ourselves to you. And we pray this in your precious and holy Son's name, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Let's stand with me as we close in a song.